بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وقائد مسيرتنا، العبد المؤيد والرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد حبيب إله العالمين، أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الغر الميامين. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I would like to thank you all for coming tonight to this program. I know it's a very chilly night, and it would be even colder this probably midnight and tomorrow. So I would like to thank you all and appreciate the efforts you're making to be here with us. I know some of you come from a very far distance. May Allah bless you all, accept your a'mal, and protect you wherever you are, and make sure that you drive safely tonight once you go back home. Before I start my presentation, I was told that Sister Zainab Salamasi had decided to wear hijab. I'm not sure if she is in now or not. Is she here? Is she here? Can you stand up for less than one minute, please? I would like to greet her with a very strong salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. I would like to congratulate our sister Zainab Salamasi for her decision on wearing hijab. May Allah bless her and guide her to the right path, and guide all of us to the right path. And also, I hope, inshallah, this decision will inspire some other sisters also to wear hijab. Thank you, Sister Zainab, for taking the lead tonight and for setting a very beautiful example for other sisters. May Allah bless you all and accept your a'mal. The flyer that you have seen indicates that tonight's subject would be on jinns and angels. I was thinking to speak about jinns, then I thought probably when you go home, probably half of you can't sleep tonight, and you will have nightmares and dreams about haunted houses. So I decided to delay that for another time, inshallah. The reality is, of course, I'm joking. The reality is, I didn't see the flyer till I came here. So I made a few calls to know exactly what the subject. Unfortunately, none of the board members of the YMA had returned my call. Therefore, I decided to choose my own subject, and I will speak, inshallah, about this subject, which is a very interesting one, by the way. Inshallah, in some other time. Tonight, I would like to speak about a very heated subject, a contemporary one, about the movie produced by Mel Gibson on Jesus, alayhi salam. And I would like to share some thoughts with you on this movie. As you may know, now probably millions of people by this time have watched this movie. And I think probably in a few more months, the number of people who will see this movie will exceed probably 80 million people, only in the United States, not alone in some other countries. And I believe that we Muslims, we need to have a clear understanding on where do we stand on such movie. And I'm sure during your interaction with other people, especially non-Muslims, you may come across this particular subject, the subject of the movie will come up, and we would like to share some thoughts about this the subject, the passion movie. I would like to share those thoughts with you. First of all, I would like to say something about the producer, Mel Gibson. The man, I read an article about him a few months ago in New York Times. It says that this actor, who is, by the way, the producer of the movie, he spent out of his own money, $24 million. He allocated $24 million to produce this film. What does this mean? What is the message this man is sending to the entire world? The message he is sending is that he is very determined and he is a very dedicated Christian. Whether he is right or wrong, that's beyond the, beside the point. It shows how dedicated this person is that he would take, he would risk $24 million to make a movie on Jesus, not even knowing whether his movie will be popular or not, whether it will be seen widely by millions of people or it could be boycotted, whether this movie will take him to the highest level of fame and celebrity, or it may take him somewhere in a jail in the United States after being accused of being anti-Semitic. So he was very determined to give that much money, to allocate that much money. You're talking about $24 million, not $24,000. Not $2 million, $24 million only from one person who believed in this mission that he did. That he would make a film on Jesus alayhi salam, the way he perceives Jesus, to promote his own doctrine. No doubt that there were some financial motives behind producing such film. I have no doubt. But I believe, from the way I read about him, that the most compelling incentive for this man, for Mel Gibson, wasn't money rather than promoting his own faith. And he succeeded. He succeeded in making the world talk about his film. He succeeded in dividing the world into two camps. People who love the movie, who watch the movie. I'm sure some of you have went and watched the movie and spent some money out of your pocket just to see, out of curiosity. And also, he had another camp who condemned his film. But that did not stop him from proceeding toward his goal. Producing a film on Jesus alayhi salam and his victimization. This truly brought me to think how we Muslims, especially the followers of Ahlul Bayt, how stagnant we are. Sometimes, it seems that we are, with all the capabilities we have, with all wealth we have, unfortunately, we have not thought about producing a film about our own hero, about our own Imam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I bet you, if someone like Mel Gibson or in his caliber would produce a film on Imam Hussein, it would be even more effective. Take in consideration that we Muslims disagree on the reality of this film. We don't believe that Jesus was crucified. We don't believe that he was killed. We believe that it was someone else who was killed. But with Imam Hussein alayhi salam, there is no doubt at all that the one who was martyred, the one who was killed, the one who was sliced into pieces in Karbala was the grandson of the Prophet. No two Muslims disagree on this. Not even non-Muslims, the entire world agrees that the one who was killed in Karbala was the son of the Prophet. Inshallah, one day there will be someone who will make that dream happen, will make a film on Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I remember in year 1978, when the film, the movie of The Message, The Messenger was released. I was in Kuwait by that time. I read in newspapers in year 1978. I read in the newspapers that there were over 2,000 people in the United States have converted to Islam after watching that film. 2,000 people that time, in the year 1978, had converted to Islam simply for watching one film about Islam. One film. This proves the point that one picture equals thousands of words. And when we have motion pictures, when we can use the latest technology to promote our faith, our Islam. Look now how this internet is transforming the world. I received during Ashura many emails from brothers and sisters around the world, around the globe, from the United Kingdom, from the United States, from other countries, people who are complimenting the YMA for putting the lectures of the YMA on the internet. People in many areas who had no access to lectures, live lectures in their areas, they used to go at night and listen to our lectures. This internet had given us a powerful opportunity to reach millions of people whom we usually cannot reach through ordinary means. So if we can also use the technology in Hollywood and in the cinema industry to promote our own faith, our own principle, believe me, the world will change. And I hope, inshallah, one day, and I hope that day will be soon, at least in our lifetime, where we can see a very beautiful, in the same scale of Mel Gibson's movie, being produced on Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I assure you, if this happens in this country, you will see not 2,000 people. I assure you hundreds of thousands of people will be influenced with Imam Hussein. As you remember in Ashura, we discussed that. We said, if I said this over and over, if someone watches Imam Hussein in a movie or reads his story, his epic in Karbala, if he is not biased and if he is not blind or blinded, surely he will embrace the message of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Because you can tell from the tone of Imam Hussein, from the way he moved, from the way he spoke, from the way he did all his sacrifices, that the man was so sincere that every person reads his history, he will be captivated with his message and with his passion. So inshallah there will be another movie on Imam Hussein's passion and compassion. Inshallah there will be a day where we can see that dream. So that was my first observation, that all it took the dedication of one person, like Mel Gibson, who decided to make this, and he made it, and now see, the world is busy talking about the film. The world did not stop talking about the film since it was released 2 weeks ago. Or 3 weeks ago, probably. I'm not sure exactly when it was. I think 2 weeks ago. It was during Ashura when it was released. The second observation. When the film was released, the Jews took a very aggressive stand. And by the way, whenever you take such aggressive stand, in reality, you're adding on the fame of the subject you're fighting with. You are publicizing it without you know. If it was not the big commotion the Jews made about this movie, I don't think the film had gained the fame and the publicity that it did gain now. It was the Jews who made a big issue about it, and they made everybody interested and curious to go and see it. So they made a big issue about the film. I would like you to know what is our perspective on the film. We know that the Christians believe that Jesus was killed. historically, he was killed, according even to the film, he was killed by the Jews, or at least we should say with their blessing. Probably he wasn't practically killed by them with their own hands, but with their blessing. Now, the Jews now deny that. And there have been a big controversy, historic controversy, over this. And ironically, the Christian official establishment had denied that recently, acquitted the Jews from conspiring against Jesus. Now, from an Islamic perspective, Allah tells us the real story. Allah tells us that the Jews did attempt to kill Jesus. As a matter of fact, they did claim, literally claim, that they killed Jesus. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَوْلِهِمْ قَوْلِ الْيَهُودِ, in chapter 5, Surah An-Nisa, ayah 157. Listen to this. It's very interesting. When I was reading this ayah today, I said, subhanallah, as if this ayah was revealed 2 weeks ago when the movie was released. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah speaks eloquently and shockingly about Jesus alayhi salam and how he was killed. Listen to what Allah says. وَقَوْلِهِمْ, the Jews, وَقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا قَتَلْنَا الْمَسِيحَ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, and they're saying, they're, who's there? The Jews. And they're saying, surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam. So Allah is quoting in the Quran the Jews who did admit that they killed killed Jesus. When was that? 14 centuries ago. They did admit. Not only they did admit, they were bragging about killing Jesus because they believed he's a crook. He was a liar. He claimed to be a prophet. He wasn't a prophet. He was an ordinary rabbi. He was a very ambitious person. And when he was cornered by other rabbis, his contemporary rabbis, he claimed to be a prophet and they decided to kill him. So Allah says that the Jews admitted killing Jesus. And they're saying, surely we have killed the Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam, the apostle of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him. But it appeared to them that they killed Jesus. Now, according to our Islamic traditions, the hadith, they say when they went to take him, when Judas took the troops, the Roman troops, to arrest him, he went to his house. He entered the house. Jesus was inside the house. By that time, Allah decided to raise Jesus to heaven. When Judas came back, he disappeared. Jesus disappeared. He was raised. When he came back to tell them that Jesus is not in, Allah converted his face, Judas' face, to Jesus' face. He looked exactly like Jesus. He came back to tell them that Jesus is not here. They told him, you're Jesus. They took him. He tried to deny it, but couldn't work. It didn't work because he looks exactly like Jesus. How can you deny that you're not Jesus? And you look exactly like Jesus. It didn't work. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed them to crucify Judas. So the one who was crucified on that day, it was not Jesus, it was Judas, Yehuda. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those people were tricked. They simply thought that they are crucifying Jesus. They didn't crucify Jesus. They crucified Judas. Why Allah did not allow them? Why Allah did not allow them to kill Jesus? I want to stop for a moment here. Why Allah did not allow those people to kill Jesus? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow them to kill Jesus for a reason. For the same reason He did not allow Nimrud to kill Abraham when he was thrown into the fire. When he was thrown into the fire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the fire, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. Allah calls, He speaks, Allah speaks directly to the fire. كُونِي بَرْدًا. Be cold and peace. The Prophet says, when Allah said to the fire, be cold on him, Abraham was shivering. He was shivering out of cold. He was so cold that he was in the fire shivering. Till Allah said, wasalaman, and peace, then he was okay. He was enjoying the weather by that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Abraham. Why? Because had he not saved Abraham, Nimrud would be the winner. And then those who fought with Allah and His messengers would have something in their hand to say, we won. We won the battle with Allah. We killed the messenger of Allah. Same thing with Jesus alayhi salam. Same thing with Jesus. Had they been able to kill Jesus that day, Jesus was the only messenger of Allah by that day. Had they been able to kill him, now they could have claimed that's it. Nobody now speaks on behalf of Allah. No messenger of Allah. And we Muslims believe that unless there is a successor, a legitimate successor to the Prophet, Allah would not take the Prophet. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this, that there should be someone representing Allah on earth constantly. So when Allah decides to take the soul of His Prophet, there should be someone on His place. Otherwise, people would be like sheep without shepherd. That's why Allah would not allow this to happen. You may ask me, then why Allah allowed Imam Hussein to be killed? That's a totally different. It is, as a matter of fact, it is the exact opposite. Imam Hussein's history differs with Jesus. Imam Hussein's martyrdom was supposed to secure Islam, because the one who was speaking in Damascus, he wasn't saying, I'm an atheist. He wasn't saying, I'm an atheist, like Nimrud. He was speaking in the name of Islam. Then that needed someone like Imam Hussein to sacrifice his life so he can awaken people, so people can realize the danger posed on their faith. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to save Jesus, and it was Judas who was crucified. Now, let's go right after this, where Allah says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They did not kill him, nor they crucify him. Now listen to what Allah says. Allah says, وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. It appeared to them. So it appeared to them that they killed Jesus. Then right after that, Allah says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍ مِنْهِ مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعًا. Allah says, those who differ in Jesus. Who are those who differed in Jesus? Christians and the Jews. They differed on Jesus, didn't they? The Jews believe that He is a crook. He is illegitimate son of Mary. The Christians believe that He is son of Allah. Allah says those who differed in Him, lefi shak, they are in constant doubt. Wasn't in doubt? Didn't you see the controversy in CNN and Fox News? Some people who were so passionately with the film, they did believe in the story of the film, that it was the Jews who killed them, and then we had in the other side people who denied the story. They are in doubt. They are not sure. And then they had some scholars who had to go through the transcript of the movie. Some endorsed the movie, and some they did not endorse the movie. I was in Los Angeles 2 days ago. A friend, he says that he read in one of the newspapers in Italy that the Pope watched the movie before it was released in the movie theaters. The Pope and one assistant watched the movie, and then after watching the movie, he said that's how it was. Now, what does this mean? If they were certain that that's how it was, the Pope didn't need to endorse that. Are you getting my point? What I'm trying to say, that it seems that they are in doubt that they need someone like the Pope to endorse it or to bless it, to say that how it was. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking so beautifully about that. Allah says, وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ لَفِي شَكٍ مِّنْ And most surely those who differ therein are only in a doubt about it. They are in a doubt about how he was killed. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِّ Allah says that they have no knowledge respecting it, but only follow a conjecture, and they killed him not for sure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the final say about Jesus. It is not what Mel Gibson says, that it was Jesus who was killed, the Son of Allah who was killed. It is not what the Jews say, that he was a crook and they had nothing to do with him. It wasn't them who killed him. It was someone else. It is what Allah says. That yes, the Jews did attempt to kill him, but Allah saved him. Now, I would like to go back to what the Jews say. The Jews now make a big commotion of not being responsible of killing Jesus. On the other side, you have people who believe that it is the Jews who killed him. And if you read the history of Europe, you understand why for centuries there was sentiment, anti-Jewish sentiment existed in Europe up to this moment. Where this term of anti-Semitic comes from? Because for centuries the Christians believed that it is the Jews who killed him, and therefore they always held hatred against the Jews. And probably hundreds of thousands, and if you add into that the Holocaust, it could be millions of Jews were killed because of those sentiments. Now the Jews nowadays deny that. We Muslims believe that even though that the Jews at that time conspired against Jesus and they did try killing him, but Allah teaches us a golden rule, and the Muslim world must acknowledge that. Christian world must acknowledge that rule. That rule says, وَلَا تَزِرْ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى If I commit a crime, my son should not be held responsible. My brother should not be held responsible. You hold me responsible. And that's why we have a problem with the concept of eternal sin or original sin. We believe there is no original sin. If Adam committed a sin, which we don't believe he committed a sin, that's another subject, inshallah, one time I will speak about it. We will speak about what does it mean for a prophet to commit a sin. It is not a real sin. He is sinning against himself, not against Allah. But let's say, for the sake of the conversation, if Adam had committed a sin, why should be held responsible? So Jesus has to come and save me. I have not committed. I was born innocent. Why I should be held responsible for sins committed by my ancestors? In order to be fair with the Jews, we have to say that even though that the Jews at that time conspired against killing Jesus, we should not hold them responsible. Because they were not partnered, they did not join into that crime. In one case, a person can theoretically, and in the eyes of Allah, not in the eyes of the civil law, can join someone else in his crime while he practically did not do anything. When is that?
When is that?
Do you read زيارة عاشوراء؟ فلعن الله أمة قتلت ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به. You say, may Allah condemn those who killed you, Abu Abdullah. And may Allah condemn those who heard the story and they were happy with it. They heard the news about your martyrdom and they were happy with it. They supported that. When someone supports emotionally a crime in the eyes of Allah, in the eyes of Allah, and I underline the word eyes, in the eyes of Allah, it is not up to you. It is up to Allah. In the eyes of Allah, he is viewed a partner to the one who committed the crime. So if the Jews today believe that what Jesus got, if it wasn't Jesus, according to them, what Jesus got when he was crucified, he deserves that, then yes, in the eyes of Allah, they are responsible. They will be held liable. Because Allah will hold those who committed the crimes against innocent people responsible, and those who accept their deed. And it works in two sides. Meaning that if you, in your heart, you accept a crime, you sympathize with a criminal, in the eyes of Allah, you will be viewed a criminal. And if someone does a good deed and you, in your heart, you accept it, you love it, you admire it, Allah also will reward you for that. Remember that blind companion of the Prophet. The Prophet has over 6,000 companions. One of them is Jabir. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. He was blind. Jabir was blind. After the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, he came to Karbala. And he was the first person who visited the shrine of Imam Hussein. The first ever person who visited the shrine of Imam Hussein after his burial. When? 40 days after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. When Jabir, he came to the grave, it's a long story, and it's a very emotional one. He came, he threw himself on the grave of Imam Hussein. And he said a few words. One of the words he says, Ashhad. I bear witness. He was addressing the companions of Imam Hussein, the 72 martyrs in Karbala. He says, Ashhad laqad sharaknakum fima kuntum fi. I bear witness that I join you in your fighting with Imam Hussein. His friend, Atiyah, he was shocked. He says, how do you say this? كيف تقول ذلك والقوم قد فرق بين رؤوسهم وبدنهم. How do you say this? That you joined them in their fighting? Those brave people, they did something that nobody on earth did. They sacrificed their soul. They fought bravely with Imam Hussein. Their heads were severed. You say that you joined them? You were with them? He says, yes. I did join them in Karbala. He says, when? He says, لقد سمعت حبيبي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول من أحب عمل قوم أشرك في عملهم وإن الله يعلم أن نيتي ونية أصحابي على ما مضى عليه الحسين وأصحابه. He says, yes, I did join them in Karbala. Physically, I wasn't them with them. But in the eyes of Allah, I am as if I were fighting with them. He says, because I heard the hadith from Habibi Rasulullah, my beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا عليه وعلى أصواتكم. That if you love someone's act, you will be joining him. And Allah knows that I love their acts. I love their fighting. I love their jihad. I love their sacrifice. Therefore, Allah will join me with them in the day of judgment because I am sympathizing with them. So I think I'm done with my presentation. I will give a few minutes, probably 5 to 10 minutes for a Q&A. And then I think probably if there is anything else, Sayyid Muhammad Baqir, anything in the program? Announcement? 5 to 10 minutes, please, if you like to ask, don't. But I would like to make one more comment. The Jews don't like to hear the fact that they conspired against Jesus. This reminds me of a sheikh. He was invited to Baghdad, that was 30, 40 years ago, to do a majlis on Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And the neighborhood he was doing a majlis, it was a Shia Sunni area where both Sunnis and Shia live in the same area. So the host of the majlis says to the sheikh, Maulana, we have some Sunni brothers coming to our majlis, and I want you not to mention about Bani Umayyah and the Umayyah dynasty, about Muawiyah. The sheikh says, fine, I'm not going to say anything. Then he says, can you please not to make an issue about, some historic facts that took place in the time of Imam Hussein? The sheikh says, fine, okay, I will do that. Out of courtesy, I want to be, conciliatory. I don't want to divide the community here. I will do what you say. So what else? He says, Maulana, can you please not mention that Imam Hussein was killed by Yazid? Because I'm afraid some people will get upset. So the sheikh told him, okay, I will do that. What do you think? I will tell people that Imam Hussein was hit by a car and he died. Is that what you wanted? Is that what you want me to tell people? The Jews want the world today, those who made a big issue out of this movie, they want someone to come up and say that Jesus was not crucified by the Jews. It was aliens who came from outer space, who abducted him, and they crucified him. You cannot deny historic facts, even though that we Muslims believe that it wasn't Jesus alayhi salam who was crucified. But you cannot deny the fact that they did conspire against Jesus. And they did attempt to kill him and to crucify him. Any question, sisters? Yes, sister. Brothers, sisters. I am not sure if the Jewish people sacrificed the cow or not. But we know that historically, all ancient nations have had some kind of sacrifice, either by offering a sheep or a cow. And if you remember in the Quran, the first two brothers on earth, Abel and Cain, they have offered a sacrifice. Allah accepted once and rejected the others. I'm not sure about the cow. I don't know the details. But I don't think the motive of the Jews by attempting to kill Jesus was because they wanted to offer a perfect cow. And I don't see the parallel between a cow and Jesus. Well, but I think that was motivated by hatred and jealousy and prejudice. They could not... The same reason that Meccans wanted to kill the Prophet. Why they wanted to kill him? Why they wanted to assassinate him? Because they found someone challenging their old doctrine. Someone who claims to be prophet, and if people follow this man, nobody will go to Meccans, nobody will sacrifice, nobody will bring sheep to Abu Jahl and to his group. They thought that the man, the prophet, is in business competition with them. And unfortunately, the Jewish establishment at the time of Jesus was not so sincere to admit the sincerity of Jesus. They thought that Jesus is in a business competition with them. If people would follow him, nobody would go to them. They would go out of business. That's why they decided to conspire against him. That's the bottom line. Do you know any? Can you name any denomination? They deny the crucifixion. So do they accept the story that Quran presents, that he was ascended to? That's interesting. That's interesting to know. Yes, Sister Nadi. Sister Nadia says, why Allah then did allow John the Baptist to be martyr? See, sometimes Allah's wisdom works mysteriously in a different way. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that if He does not save this one, the damage on the faith, on his faith would be more. Let me remind you, in the battle of Badr, the very first battle of Islam, the Prophet raised his hand and he says a very beautiful word. He says, Allahumma, in tahlak hadhihi al-isaba, falam tu'bad. The Prophet says, Ya Allah, I don't mind to be martyred. My companions don't mind to be martyred. But if we are killed today, there would be no person on earth that will worship you. We are the only real worshippers of you. That's why Allah descended His victory on the Prophet. Now, sometimes it is the opposite. It is like Imam Hussein. If someone does not go out and sacrifice his life, the opposite will happen. And this is what happened with John the Baptist. Aggression was so, it reached its peak that Allah decided that a prophet should sacrifice his life so people should be awakened. And this is what happened exactly after a few years when Nabuchadnezzar came and took revenge from those wicked people who were involved in killing John the Baptist. He found one drop of blood that belongs to John, Yohanna, Yahya, boiling for years. One drop of water, one drop of blood dropped on the floor. Because after he was killed in a container. And the king was determined not to allow one drop of blood fall on the floor. One drop of his blood fell on the floor and it was boiling. No matter what they did to erase any trace, they couldn't. It was boiling. Till Nabuchadnezzar came and he said, what is this? Why this is boiling? They told him that a prophet was martyred here. He said, I will take revenge for that prophet. I will kill from those wicked people till this blood stops boiling. He killed 90,000 people, then that blood stopped from boiling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished them collectively because the entire city were involved somehow in killing that prophet. It is like Naqat Salih, the camel, that the entire people were involved in killing by even either directly killing the camel or conspiring. Allah punished the entire people to be a lesson for other people not to challenge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it depends on what situation you're talking about. Sometimes Allah's wisdom requires to save and to descend His victory on His Prophet. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would allow the Prophet Zakaria. Zakaria was martyred inside a tree. I mentioned cavity of a tree. When he went, he was seeking refuge into that cavity. They chased him and they killed him while he was inside the tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that to happen because his martyrdom would boost the faith of the faithful and also would awaken those who were complacent and would give a new boost to the faith. Naam, Hajj. Naam, go ahead. Anybody has a question? Any brother? The Hajj is asking, how can we prove to the Christian that it was not Jesus, even though that there were eyewitnesses there who thought it was Jesus? I believe the most reliable reference for us is Quran. Since none of the eyewitnesses exist. Mel Gibson, where did he get his information from? From the Bible. The Bible was written, the first version of the Bible was written 70 years after the alleged crucifixion of Jesus. You cannot accept that. This sheds so much doubt on the authenticity of the Bible. The only reliable and authentic source we have on Jesus' martyrdom or crucifixion is Quran. Allah clearly says it wasn't Jesus. Therefore, if we believe in Allah and we believe in Jesus, and we do believe that Jesus had foreseen the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad, then we have to accept what Allah tells us. And someone asked me yesterday, when people found out about the fact that it wasn't Jesus, I said, I'm not sure, but probably after 500 years. Because Jesus was crucified in year, 38, probably AD. He was 38 year old, according to our hadith. And Prophet Muhammad was born in 570. He became a prophet in 610. So almost 600 years after the alleged crucifixion, people found out it wasn't Jesus. Quran says that it wasn't Jesus who was crucified. So I'm not sure if people had any other way to verify the real story of his crucifixion before Quran. Now, they were informed. I didn't get the question. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib has a speech in Nahjul Balagha that says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was sent to the humanity ala fatratin min ar-rusul. After a while, there was no prophet. No prophet at all. Now, when we say no prophet, we have two terms. Inshallah, in some other night, I will speak about that. Hujjah and a prophet. What is Hujjah? Hujjah means a representative of Allah, whether in the form of prophet or a successor of the prophet. Like now. Now, no prophet exists. I think no prophet. They say Al-Khidr exists, but we are not sure of that. But if the Prophet does not exist, who exists now? A representative of the Prophet, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, ajjalallah faraja. Imam Ali alayhi salam says there were no prophets after Jesus and before Prophet Muhammad. But he didn't say if there was a successor of the Prophet or not. He didn't say. According to many of hadith, that there shouldn't be a time there was no successor. There should be a successor of the Prophet. Allah would not leave people like sheep without a shepherd. But I am not sure who the successor of Jesus, who was the legitimate successor of Jesus was. After they crucified Jesus, why did not Allah bring back justice? Is that justice? Show Christian that he's still alive. Afwan. It says, after they crucified Jesus, why did not Allah bring back Jesus to show Christians that he is still alive? Allah will show the Christians that he is still alive. He will. When is that? When Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will appear, Jesus alayhi salam will come down. And he will join al-Mahdi, ajjalallah faraja. They both will approach al-Masjid al-Haram. The hadith says, Imam al-Mahdi will ask Jesus, will offer Jesus to lead the prayer. Jesus comes and he grabs the arm, the right arm of Imam al-Mahdi, and he gently pushes him forward, asking him to lead the prayer. And put in mind, when the Imam al-Mahdi leads the prayer, that means he is the Imam of Jesus. He is the leader of Jesus. Because here, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi representing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And Jesus' role as a Prophet had expired once he was ascended. As a messenger of Allah, it expired. Now, he is not acting as the Prophet of Christianity. Rather, as a Prophet joining the final religion, the final faith of Allah, which is Islam. And Christians will all see that. And the hadith say that once Christians see that, they will join in by millions. By millions will join in after seeing their leader, Jesus alayhi salam, joining Al-Imam Al-Mahdi. Another question, it says, how do you pray صلاة الشكر. صلاة الشكر it is two rak'ah مستحب that someone would do it anytime, there is no specific time. Being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you offer two, like salat al-subh, exactly like morning prayer. You pray, and after that prayer, you go and do a sujood, and there is a special dua that you would recite. Unfortunately, I don't memorize it. I can bring it for you next week. It is in book called Mafatih al-Jinan, and for those who read Arabic and for those who read English, it is in a book called Call on Me and I Answer. It is the details of the salah is there. But let me remind you of something. There is something very mustahab, highly mustahab, that a Muslim would do right after each salah. We pray five times a day. Right after each salah, it won't take you more than 30 seconds, or even less, probably 20 seconds. That after each salah you do, you know how it is mustahab to do tasbihat al-zahra. That's mustahab. Recommended. But in addition to that, after you finish that, you go and do two sajda. And when I say two sajda, you don't need to raise your head entirely after doing the first one. Meaning you do one sajda, you raise your head a little bit, 4 inches, 5 inches, you go back again. And each time you do this, in each time you do a sajda, you say shukran lillah. Only one word, shukran lillah. In each sajda, you go to the first sajda, after finishing your salah, you do a sujood. You say shukran lillah. You raise your head a little bit, you come back down again, you say shukran lillah. It won't take more than 20 seconds to do that. This is highly, highly, highly mustahab. Highly mustahab act that a Muslim would do every day after each salah, he or she does. Thank you so much, my dear brothers and sisters. May Allah bless you, guide you, and protect you. There are a few more announcements, not more than 5 minutes probably. I would ask you to be seated till those announcements are over. Thank you so much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.